Well, that's what I'm talking about today. If you notice in your bulletin, it says, beautiful believer's baptism. Beautiful. Now, in case you're wondering, baptism is for beautiful believers. So look at yourself in the mirror. You say, oh, my goodness, that's not me. Well, I think all of us can think about that, as we are beautiful in God's sight. And you know what? Baptism is a beautiful picture of what happens in the heart of one who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's what we want to talk about. Let me give you a little personal testimony. When I was 9 years old, I was at a Christian camp, Camp Chief Noonday Camp. Anybody know where Camp Chief Noonday? Harry, you know? They closed it 30 years ago, so that's scary. Hastings, that's right. Camp Chief Noonday Camp. An evangelist by the name of Paul Vanneman preached to all of us campers. And that day I really felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ. 9 years old. It was a great day. Now, since then, I haven't exactly been perfect. You can ask my wife about that or any of my kids. But you know what? God got a hold of my life that day, and he began to change me from the inside out. The first thing I did was I wanted to do everything I could possibly do to do exactly what Jesus wanted me to do. And so I was baptized. I was baptized at Inner City Baptist Church. I still remember the day. I still remember the pastor that baptized me. I thought afterwards he's trying to kill me. But you know what? It was a very meaningful moment to me because I realized that I was making another spiritual commitment of my life to follow Christ. You see, salvation is a matter of the heart. And baptism is really a public declaration of what God has done inside of you. So if you've committed your life to Christ, the next step is baptism. So God has given us this wonderful picture, a picture that shows us what the new birth is all about. And it's called baptism. But there's so many questions about baptism. Some of them are, is baptism important or unimportant for the Christian today? I hear people say, well, that was way back then. No, I think what the Bible says about baptism is true today. God says baptism is for us. Jesus did it. He was baptized. Another question is baptism essential for salvation? Is baptism part of salvation? And we would say, well, it's important because it's being obedient. Baptism doesn't save us, but what it does is it tells people that you've been saved. Is baptism for babies or for adults only? And we're going to see this morning what the Bible says is that baptism is for those who are believers in Christ, those who have committed their heart and life to Christ. I hear people ask, is sprinkling or is it immersion? And I hate to tell people this, but I say, you know what, look in the Bible and see what it says under sprinkling. And then what does it say under immersion? The Bible teaches that they went into the water, and we'll see that in just a few moments. So all these questions I hope to tackle this morning, and we're still going to be out of here on time. But I want to begin this morning by looking at Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is found in Acts chapter 8. And from there, be able to answer some of the questions that we have from Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is a pivotal, answers most of these questions we have beginning in verse 26. We read this. Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. That's interesting. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So we see that this man was a religious man. He was a spiritual man. He was there worshiping. And then the text goes on and says, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So here's a man who is sincerely seeking truth. He's reading the book of Isaiah. He wants to know, what does this mean? And so Philip is told, go to that chariot and stay near it. Verse 30 says this, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, do you understand what you are reading? The man says in verse 31, how can I, he said, unless somebody explain it to me. So he invited Philip to come up into his Corvette. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Come up into his chariot and to sit with him. Now, you see, Philip was being obedient to what the Spirit of God had told him to do. The Spirit of God said, I want you to go follow it, get it, catch up with it, and I want you to talk to the man. And he does that. And he sits with him. Verse 32 says, the eunuch was reading this passage. This is from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. This is what it says. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shears is silent, the King James says dumb, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Interesting passage. And a passage that was clearly in Philip's mind because he knew that Jesus had said that he was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. At least John the Baptist said that. So the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture from Isaiah 53 and told him the good news about who? Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity to share with him about Christ and about the love that Jesus had for him. And as they were traveling, this man comes to faith in Christ. You can see that because of what happens next. And as they were traveling along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? You see, he had been confronted. He had come to Christ. And he says the next step in his life, he wanted to be obedient to God in being baptized. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water. Catch that? He went where? Down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, you notice that again, into the water, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, the picture there is of salvation. Salvation is something that took place first. The eunuch came to Christ. That was the first step. And so for baptism, the first thing you want to make sure is that you are a child of God, that you have committed your life to Christ. So what does the Bible teach about baptism? Number one, if you want to write it in your bulletin, you can do that. That baptism is a symbol. And then I added this, not a sacrament. Please notice the difference. The word sacrament literally means to receive special grace. You see, the water does not save you. The water is a picture of what God has done in your life when God saved you. I was looking up some different church confessions about baptism. Here's one I found. Baptism is a sacrament which cleanses us from original sin and makes us the children of God. Where do you find that? You don't find it in Scripture. Sacrament? No, because you don't receive any special grace from being baptized. It is a picture of what God has done in you. Here's another one from another church. Holy baptism is the washing of regeneration by which the new birth is wrought. In other words, baptism is the thing that saves you. That's That's what's being taught in some churches. Since baptism is a means of grace for salvation, we must not deny baptism to babies. So where do they get that from? They don't get it from the Bible. So what does the Bible say about that? In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, he's talking about Philip and the Ethiopian. It says, if thou believest with all thine heart, you mayest be baptized. In Acts 2:41, it says this. This is with on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people came to salvation. It says, they that gladly received the word were baptized. See, the important thing is that baptism follows salvation. Salvation is always first, and then baptism. And it's called believer's baptism for a reason. Because when people trusted in Christ, the next natural step should be that they want to be baptized. How about Acts 10:47? This is related to the Roman centurion. And Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? No. What should happen is after people come to Christ, they should be baptized. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, the Philippian jailer, if you remember, the text says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And what was the next step? They were baptized, he and all of his house. Why? Because baptism is a symbol. Baptism is a symbol. Salvation saves you, but not water. Baptism is a symbol, not a sacrament. So the question is, what does baptism symbolize? You can find that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, having been buried with him, having been buried with Christ in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. You see, the picture of baptism is when somebody goes in the water, the picture is the old life dies. The picture is that. And the new life comes out, the picture of that. It's a picture of what God has done in you. And that's why baptism is a symbol that says to everybody who's there, I want to follow Christ. I've made a commitment of my heart and life to Christ. So why do we bury someone, as that text says? Do we bury somebody to kill them? No. We bury because they're already dead. So when we bury somebody in the water of baptism, figuratively, it's a picture of the old life that was dead. And now when they come out of the water, it's a picture of the new life of what Christ has for us. It's kind of like it's a picture. I keep using that word. But, you know, we have all kinds of word pictures. I think of this one right here. I have a wedding ring. Unfortunately, what has happened is the gold in my wedding ring has shrunk. So that's as far as I can get it. I mean, I don't know what happened. I can't get any farther than that. Now, if I stick it in the ice, if I stick it in the freezer for a few minutes and my finger shrinks, I can get it over my knuckle. But I haven't been able to do that for a few years now. But you know what? The fact that I have a wedding ring on does not mean I'm married. In fact, my wife and I will be married 47 years on the 21st. And the fact that we've been married that long, what the wedding ring really is a picture. It says to everybody who's here, guess what, folks? You see this ring? That means I'm hers. I'm taken. That's what the picture is. Now, if I could get the ring off and I set it aside, that wouldn't mean I wouldn't be married. See the picture? It's just a picture that I'm married. My wife has one, and don't you, dear? Yes, she has hers on, too. She can't get hers off either, but it's amazing how that gold shrinks. Isn't it, Harry? It's just terrible how that happens. But, you know, it's a picture, and that's what baptism is. It is a picture of what Christ has done in you. It's a picture. It's a way of saying to everybody around you that I'm a Christian. But number two in your bulletin is that baptism is for believers. You have to believe in your heart. Baptism is a public declaration concerning your attitude towards Christ. That I want to follow Christ. I want to be obedient to what he says. And it's telling the world, at least those who are watching it and those who hear about it, that Jesus Christ is my Savior and he's my Lord for the rest of my life. It's like saying, watch me. I am being obedient to Christ and I want everybody to know. And there's no turning back. It is a public display of my commitment to Christ, just like my marriage. A person can be a secret believer. And I think there are people that are secret believers. But baptism is like a coming out party. It's like saying, you know what, I don't want to be a secret saint anymore. I want everybody to know. And I'm going to do that through the waters of baptism. And if you've received Jesus into your life by faith, and you've trusted him as Savior and as Lord, and it's a way of declaring it openly, and it's a beautiful thing. That's why I called it beautiful believer's baptism. I believe this testimony symbolizes in a fuller way what has happened in my life when I was baptized. I was publicly declaring that I want to follow Christ. And that's why we don't baptize babies, by the way. Because babies cannot make that decision to follow Christ. Now, you say, well, what would we do on Mother's Day? Well, we have a service that where we dedicate our children to the Lord. And by the way, we also dedicate parents to the Lord. Jesus blessed the children. Jesus didn't baptize the children. He says, have the children come to me, for the kingdom of God is like these children. Besides, babies are too young to make that kind of a decision for Christ. So baptism simply means that you are public declaring that you have personally received Jesus as Lord. Here's number three. Baptism symbolizes a bath. Yesterday, Maxine and I were working out in the yards, and she loves flowers, and she says to me, you know what? We got all this grass that's growing all over the place. You need to get busy and clean it all up. I want it all look nice. And so I had the big lawnmower and then the small lawnmower and the mount with the weed whip. And about 5 hours later, I had it all done. And she was working the flower beds, so I started carrying the mulch for her and pouring it. And by the end of the day, I say to myself, you know what? I stink. And you know what? She did too. And I said to myself, let's go for a swim in the lake. And then the wind started to blow. And I said to myself, you know what? Maybe a shower would be better. Baptism symbolizes a bath. Really a thorough cleaning. Because when you become a Christian, you see, what God does is he washes away your sin from your life. Baptism doesn't do it, but faith in Christ does. I love Titus chapter 3. Look at the screen, you'll see these words. But when the kindness of the Lord God, our Savior, appeared, this is great. Look at this. He saved us, not because of righteous things that we have done. My good deeds doesn't save me. Jesus does. But because of his mercy. Catch that word. Because of God's great mercy for me, he saved me. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. The washing. He washed away my sin. He took it away. And a renewal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in that. Whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7. So that having been justified by his grace, receiving the gift of God's grace, we might become heirs. That means we're children of God, having the hope of eternal life. See, baptism doesn't save us, but baptism is a picture of cleaning up. It's a picture of how God has forgiven me of my sin. And the water symbolizes that cleansing from our sins. And I have to say to you that being clean feels good. It felt good to get in the shower. It felt good to wash. And that's a picture of what God has done for us. And baptism is Christ's visual aid of the cleansing already accomplished in my life. But here's number four. Baptism symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's work in placing me in Christ. The Holy Spirit came into my life when I trusted Christ. And so my baptism is a sign of that. In Romans 8:9, it says this, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, and if the Spirit of Christ lives in you." And then these words, "If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. He doesn't belong to Christ." You see, if the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, you're not one of God's children. You don't belong to Christ. The Bible teaches that the Spirit who baptizes, he immerses us into the body of Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, "For we are all baptized into one Spirit, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we are all given to one Spirit to drink." The Spirit-filled life that we've been talking about for the last number of weeks makes you a member of the body of Christ. And the one who baptizes us, it's a picture. It's a symbol. So water baptism is a picture of that. And that's why water is used. And that's why we put people under the water. It's a picture of what Christ does for us in that cleansing. Acts 2:41 that we read says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were baptized that day." But number five, and that is this. Baptism symbolizes the Trinity. What's the first part of the Trinity? What is it? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. You see, when we are baptized in water baptism, all three are there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in the miracle of salvation. And when Christ sent his followers around the world in the gospel, he told them to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, baptism is an act of gratitude to God that's involved in our salvation. So, my question to you is this. Is baptism for you? Is baptism for you? I would say if you are a child of God, you've received Christ into your life, then baptism is for you if you haven't been baptized. And Jesus says he wants you to be obedient. And if baptism is a declaration of your faith in Christ and a meaningful symbol of what he has done for you, then the question is, why not be baptized? Why not be baptized? To me, the real kicker of the whole thing is found in Matthew chapter 3. And this is such a powerful text. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Catch that. He came out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son who I love. In him I am well pleased." You see the Father, the voice from heaven, the Son being baptized, the Holy Spirit ascending like a dove. You see all three of those in that great picture. Jesus obeyed the command of God the Father, and he was baptized. And he was baptized by immersion as a symbol of his faith and love for his Heavenly Father. So, my question to you is, what about you? What's keeping you from being baptized? What is it? I just want to challenge you today. We are having a baptismal service on Celebration Sunday, June 25th. It's a public coming out party. It's a great time. It's a great symbol. It's for children who know Christ. It's for adults that know Christ. It's a public declaration. And I want to say, consider being baptized. Consider it. Beautiful believer's baptism. Why is it beautiful? Because what Jesus has done for us, what he wants us to do is to follow him. And he wants us to be baptized. Baptism is a symbol, not a sacrament. Baptism is for believers. Baptism symbolizes a bath, a thorough cleaning. It symbolizes that. Baptism symbolizes the Holy Spirit's work. Baptism symbolizes the Trinity. But the real question is, what is keeping you from being baptized?